Shall we read just the one verse, please, from the end of chapter 5? Go to the Acts in chapter 5. Verse number 42, closing verse of Acts chapter 5. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. And the Lord will bless his word. It would be interesting to divide this verse into three parts and to have a little look at the men who preach. And I think I'd like to do that just very briefly. A little look at the men who preach. It would be profitable then to have a little look at the manner of their preaching and to ask perhaps three questions. To ask as to when they preached, to ask the question as to where they preached, and then to ask as to what exactly was the style of their preaching. So to look at the preachers and then to look at the preaching. But then to come to the very climax, or if you like, the very heart of it, and to have a look at the message that they preached. And the message that they preached, of course, was the message of a person. Great thing that they preached a man, they preached a person. And that person in this lovely verse is Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Now these men who preached, for the first time in this chapter, we have a definite reference to the assembly, the ecclesia. I know and I agree with all that our dear brother Alan has said to us, but we have the first certain occurrence of the word ecclesia in this chapter. Great fear came upon all the assembly, all the ecclesia. And these men who preached were the representatives of that ecclesia. Now it is a lovely word, and it is, of course, a Greek word, and we have sort of made it into an English word. I think they may call it an anglicized Greek word. I think that's what they call it. But we incorporated in other words. We speak about things being ecclesiastical, and we mean that they have to do with the assembly. It is a very simple word. It's a very beautiful word. And it means, of course, that here is a company that is called out and called together, and they are distinct, even though they have not yet officially left the camp. Nevertheless, inside this camp of Judaism, there is an ecclesia even at this time. In a little while, they will be called right out from the camp. They will be called into a very distinct place, apart from it and outside it. But even at this early stage, they are still the ecclesia. They are distinct from Judaism. Now there is a principle here, and it is that preaching should go out from the assembly. There was no need for these men to form some committee for the evangelization of Jerusalem. There was no need to form any extra association for an outreach to Samaria. These men were the representatives of the ecclesia, and there is this very simple and yet very beautiful principle, that the assembly is a lamp, and it shines in the darkness, and that all gospel preaching goes out from and in association with the ecclesia, with the assembly. And of course, as the gospel goes out and the light shines from the lamp, that means that whatever is accomplished now will be for the upbuilding of the assembly, and we'll come back to it again. And so the very simple, but the very wise, divinely wise principle that we have here, that the gospel radiates out from the assembly, people are saved, and as we have heard, they are baptized, and then they are in turn added to the assembly, and so there really is no need and no instruction, no precedent, no precept, no mandate for anything apart from the assembly. That is a very simple, and yet it seems to me a very basic and a very important principle. So if you had asked, who are these men, these preachers? Well, anyone who had an intelligent understanding would have told you that they were but the representatives of this new ecclesia that was in Jerusalem. Now, they were, of course, very faithful men, and they were men who feared God and apparently had no fear of men. They seemed to be quite happy about suffering. That's a strange thing. But it does say at the end of this chapter 5 that they thought that they accounted it, that it was a worthy, that they rejoiced that they were accounted worthy that they should suffer for his name. Suffering shame, they reckon to be an honor. Suffering for him, they reckon to be a thing to be glad about. And these faithful men, fearing God, great fear upon them, but with no fear of men apparently, these were mighty men, fearless, faithful representatives of the ecclesia in Jerusalem. Not only that, but they were obedient men. You go to another verse in this chapter, the word of the angel to them is, after releasing some of them from the prison, the word of the angel is, go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people. And we have read that daily in the temple they cease not. In a very explicit way, a very, very definite way, they were obedient to the command. And of course this is exactly what is incumbent upon us, that in a very simple way, without questioning, that we ought to respond to the clear directions of the Word of God, and when we are such men who are fearless and faithful representatives of the Ecclesia, men who fear God and don't fear men, and men who in obedience go out with a message, obeying implicitly, even when sometimes we don't understand, we need to obey. This is the caliber of the men who preach. This is the characteristic of these early preachers, the men who preach. Now, what was the manner of their preaching? Well, it says that they preached every day, without ceasing. These men were practicing what Paul urged Timothy, to be instant in season and out of season. That doesn't leave very much out. You see, if you're not in season, you're out of season, so you preach. And if you're not out of season, you're in season, so you preach. And you see, it simply means that all the time we've somehow got to be at it, and they cease not. It's a little bit like, again, what the apostle says in another chapter, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And so these men, these remarkable men, they were at it every day. It wasn't something for the Sabbath only. It wasn't something only for the first day of the week. They were at it somehow, in some form, every day. And every day they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Where did they preach? They preached in the temple, and they preached in the houses. Of course, as believers, they would not have been granted very readily facilities to preach in the temple, but nevertheless, as opportunity afforded, they preached in the precincts of the temple. Somewhere about some of these many temple courts, you would have found these men every day preaching in the temple. And if sometimes that was not convenient, or if it was not permitted, well then they carried on the same ministry in the houses, and would have gathered the folks together, and daily in the temple and in the houses, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Might be that we could view it in another way. You might say that the temple was the official place for preaching, and the houses were, of course, just the homely atmosphere of the families of the people of God. Whether it be in the official place for preaching, or whether it be in the homes of the people, wherever there was opportunity, and whenever there was time, they were always at it everywhere. They ceased not in the temple and in the houses, daily preaching Jesus Christ. Now what was the manner of their preaching? Brother Allen has already pointed out that they were teaching. And I think, brethren, that in days of lightsome gospel preaching, we need to be very clear and definite about a solid, basic gospel message. We live in days when people are urged to come to Jesus. We live in days when people, without conviction, are asked to invite Him into their lives. And all sorts of extra scriptural expressions are being used. This word teaching means that there was a clear and intelligent instruction with regard to the message, and we ought to teach it and to be doctrinally clear and intelligent about what we are preaching. Hymnology has put a lot of things into our vocabulary, so that some preaching, being full of hymnology, is full of sentiment. But these men were not like that. They were teaching. A very clear, intelligent message they were preaching. Teaching it, clearly teaching it. And this word preaching is the word which literally is the word evangelizing. And if you want to sort of expand it a little bit, it means that they were announcing the glad tidings. So they were teaching in an intelligent manner, and they were announcing the glad tidings, and they were doing it every day, and in every place that was open to them. They continued daily in the temple and in the houses. They ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. Well, it's interesting to look at the men, and interesting too to look at the manner of their ministry, their preaching. Well, then, of course, you come to ask the question, what was the message that they preached? The message that they preached concerned a man who gave to himself, on his last evening on earth, a new name, in this sense, that he joined together a name and a title, both of which, until that moment, were very well known. Everybody knew that he was Jesus, and some believed him to be the Christ. Everybody knew that he was Jesus, the Nazarene, the Galilean, the carpenter. They knew that he was Jesus. And whether they believed that he was the Christ or not, well, certainly every Jew knew the title Christ. He knew that this was Messiah. He knew it meant the anointed, God's anointed, the Lord's anointed. With the name Jesus and with the title Christ, they were very familiar. It wasn't until that last evening of his life, in the upper room, in the last closing hours of his life and ministry, that the Lord Jesus takes this lovely name of Jesus and he adjoins it to the title Christ, and he says to his Father, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And it is the first usage of that new name. I know that you get it in Matthew 1. I know that you get it much earlier than John 17. But I ask you to take my word for it, that this is the first time that the title was used in that way, Jesus Christ. Why wait until the last evening? Our Lord had given Israel every opportunity to recognize that Jesus was the Messiah. He had waited, he had appealed, he had pleaded, he had presented himself, he had taught them, he had instructed them, and he had presented himself as the Messiah. But unfortunately and sadly, poor Israel knew him only as Jesus. and never really truly recognize that he was the Christ. When the last evening came, our Lord is a rejected man. He was already in spirit rejected before that. But in this last evening, it is the closing hours now of a life that has been lived and of 3.5 years of ministry that have demonstrated that he truly is the Messiah. But the nation won't have it. Nevertheless, our Lord rests in the joy of it, that whatever the nation says, whatever the nation thinks, whatever Israel will do on the morrow at Golgotha, he, Jesus, is Messiah. And he joins the two together for the first time in that upper room. Now, having said all that, I know that in this verse there might be a definite article between, and it might be here Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah. But anyway, this is what these men preached. They preached Jesus, and they preached that Jesus was the Christ, the Anointed. How do you preach Jesus? Did they tell about the wonder of his incarnation? Did they preach the spotless purity of that unique life? Did they preach again the wonder of a divine person living in Nazareth? Did they preach the glories of this lovely man who had never ceased to be what he always had been? The uniqueness of a man who was God, did they not preach that when they preached Jesus? But then Peter gets to it, and he says, the God of our fathers has raised up Jesus, whom he slew and hanged on a tree. They hanged him on a tree and they wrote his name above him. Jesus, this is Jesus. 'Twas all that they knew. This is Jesus. But, says Peter, God has raised him, and him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior. That is the Christ. That is the Anointed. This is the Messiah. He's not only prince and savior, but he's Lord and Christ, and he's exalted in the heavens. When they preached Jesus Christ, they were going back to the moment of incarnation, and through the wonders of that life, and through the sorrows of crucifixion, down into death and up out of the grave, and up in their preaching to the preaching of an exalted man now in the heavens, when they preached Jesus Christ, they stand and they scan the whole of this lovely story, from the manger to the throne, from Bethlehem, through cross and tomb, and up into the heavens. And the message that they preach is our message too. The lovely thing that we preach at first. They delay in the temple and in the house. Cease not to teach and preach Jesus. The Lord help us too.